Hey everybody, this is Jessica.
And this is Caitlin.
And we wanted to put something at the beginning of this episode because, as you can tell, it is coming out a little later than we anticipated.
Yeah, it says it's a holiday episode, and as you can see on your calendar, if this is real time, we are not in the holiday season.
We are not, but we couldn't find a good time to release it earlier in the month, so we're releasing it now.
Yeah, so enjoy.
Enjoy! Oh, hi, Caitlin. It's so weird that you're here.
I know. How did we both end up here?
I don't know. It's a shock. I'm shocked.
I am too, because it's been really hard for us to get out of our cozy caves and talk to each other.
Caitlin, this is, as you know, the holiday season.
It is. And well, we're kind of stretching it a bit.
Sure. Well, when we're when we're recording this, we are still right in the heart of holiday season.
Yeah. We're right laying now in the hammock that is the between Christmas and New Year's.
It's a comfortable hammock.
Yeah.
It's a hammock where time doesn't exist. And you know those like horror movies where somebody wakes up from a terrible nightmare and then they look down at their hands and their hands are covered in blood and they're like, my God, what have I done? Like, what is this? I feel like this week has been a lot of me like waking up from a holiday stupor and then being like, who ate all of these chocolate covered blueberries from Trader Joe's? And why does she feel sick to her stomach? Like, it's just that for 7 days.
Yes. Yeah. I've been feeling that way, but with cookies.
Oh, yeah. God, I love cookies. I'm happy about everything I'm eating. Like, I regret nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like a surprise. It's a delirium, really, that I'm waking from every time.
Yeah. You and I both, I think, over the past couple of days, we both got really good books for Christmas.
Ugh.
And I think both you and I have been like, we'll do this thing. And then we're both like, secretly, I'm just going to go lay down with this book.
Yeah. That's a big
but it's been wonderful.
It's been so nice. One thing I appreciate, something listeners don't know, is that we're both, well, they probably know we're supportive of each other. I hope that's come.
I hope that they mistakenly just feel all this tension radiating from this podcast. Like they're really just missing.
What if they're like, conspiracy theory, they hate each other. And I'm like, oh yeah,
it's all
man, we're really, really faking it.
When you say, like, I love you, Caitlin, at the end of every episode, there's this, like, twinkle in your eye. A murderous twinkle.
The next part of the soundbite, and I'm like, and I must destroy you. But we take it out every time.
Yeah. Chad's like, oop, every gonna time. Tuck that away for later to deal with.
We're just gonna sweep that right under the thinly veiled threat rug, which I feel like they definitely sell at Anthropology. A thinly veiled threat rug seems like something that exists. But the thing
feel
that
like
is,
I want to buy one.
I know, right? Right. The thing that listeners might not know about us is that because we're so supportive, occasionally in our recording lives together, we've run into this issue where one person is like, I'm really exhausted. Like, recording is going to be tough today. And then the other person will be like, I just want you to be taking care of yourself. Like, I want you to be in your best headspace. And, like, I support your rest. And then the other person's like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Like, that's so nice. And then the next day comes. And then often we flip.
We're just in a loop.
So we're just in, like, a Groundhog's Day loop of, like, are we recording today? Well, or are we napping? And
it's been kind of nice.
I like how we support each other.
I know. Well, you and I have been like talking kind of about we did some special lady day goals and things and just looking at really different model for how than the way the rest of the world does things, which I really like.
Yeah.
It's there's the slow food movement and ours is the slow podcasting movement.
That's right.
Where everyone is taken care of and supported.
there's been a lot of slowing down.
Yeah.
Ease. That's the word you used the other day. You're like, ease.
Yeah. I stole that from yoga with Adrian. I have to give her credit. She did a whole video about ease.
Ugh. Love yoga with Adrian.
Yeah.
We're taking that. We're taking the tip. We're moving forward with ease. I love slow podcast movement.
I know. And you know what I actually, I don't know if I've shown you a picture of this yet, but I think the epitome of this is the other, so my mom got me a book and then she got me this really great other present and it created this like, it was a pairing that only resulted in coziness. And so she got me this book and then she got this blanket that like a corner of it is a hood and it has a little button and then pockets so you can just wear your blanket around the house. And Preach was just like, instantly he was like, you look like a monk. And I was like, I've never been more in my element.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard of. I haven't been this excited since I discovered that you can wear very large scarves when you're traveling and use them as a blanket.
Oh, that's
while
a game
also
changer.
Making them look like fashion. Yeah, that changed my life. But now you're telling me I can be wearing a blanket. Mm-hmm. I'm really disappointed your camera's not working right now, Caitlin, because if it were, I would show you the blanket I'm currently using, which was a gift from, shout out, special lady listener, Susie. It is a sequined blue blankie. And I guess what I'm saying is, who do I need to pay to turn this into something I could be wearing? Because the other side is very fleecy.
Yep, that's okay. That's the whole point, is you put the little fleecy you cozy see? Side. That's your hood.
You see? Mm-hmm. And then now, but then because it's all sequins on the other side, it's just, it's we're glamorous. Talking glam.
Yeah.
It's glamorous. It's shining in the light.
Well, now that we've turned into a blanket podcast.
Blanket podcast with Jessica and Caitlin.
And the topic is, what blanket are you using today?
Right. Blankets. Are they cozy and can you wear them? The answer at 10.
Such suspense.
Also, this is the suspense. This is, I don't know, I'm thinking about this and we'll probably cut all of this out, but this is reminding me a little bit of a running joke that producer Chad and I have had recently where somebody's telling a story about something they did, like say wearing a blanket or wondering if they could wear a blanket that is like, you know, on its face, not very exciting, okay? Like, these are not, like, hot topics.
Au contraire. No, just kidding.
I mean, yeah. But then the joke we always do is, like, we'll be telling – usually it's more boring. It'll be like, well, I took the recycling out this morning. They had to sort a lot of it. And then we'll always say, it's a great story. I'm going to be telling it again at 10 on the hour, every hour, during the museum tour. And in my mind, there's this alternate world where, like, I'm wandering through – a museum of mundane things and being like, at 2, we start the have you cleaned out the fridge tour. And it's just me talking about cleaning out my fridge like I'm a museum tour. I don't know. Caitlin, what I'm saying is I've been alone in my house in pandemic time for a long time and things are getting weird. Things are getting weird. I'm thinking I have a museum. I'm thinking that's funny.
It's crazy.
I don't know, man.
I have been feeling the, like, accumulation of how many days and months we've been doing this. And I think that's also what is laying us flat, like, making us be horizontal.
That's right.
And only horizontal. Because I just have that, like, I'll, like, get up to go do something and I'm like, and now I need to be horizontal again for several hours before I can do anything else.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, and, you know, we're kind of seeing the light, but, like, kind of not really yet. One of my best friends is getting vaccinated this week because she is a healthcare worker. So that is like one person who's safe.
Yes.
But like, yeah, man.
It's hard.
That was my, that was like the big statement I was leading to was, yeah.
This is what we've got. That's where we're landing. And let me tell you, Caitlin, that was a great story, and I really hope that you're going to be telling it again at 10 and then on the hour every hour.
I think it needs
for the rest of the tour
own, like, the has, you know, like those pieces of art that are so important, they have their own wall. It's that.
It's just only that. It's just, yeah. I don't know. Man. I mean, I think if you made it, it would look beautiful. But thank that's you. Because everything you do is perfect, and I'm obsessed with you.
Oh, back at you. Should we, speaking of what we're doing, should we tell people what this is? Because this is Special Lady Day, but it's like an extra special Special
Lady Day. Yeah. Okay. We should. Well, so first off, I just want to start by saying, because I think I came up with the name, the pun name of the episode, you but did. I might not have.
You know what? You can, if you want to put your name on that, I'll gladly let you have it.
I don't know what that says about the pun, but I'm going to take it as a compliment. So this episode is called Special La Holiday.
Because it's so easy to say.
Uh-huh.
And it makes
rolls
sense.
Right off the tongue. Tons of sense. I actually thought about this a lot because I was like, wait a second. Special Lady Day. So should there be 2 days? Because the lady in lady is being replaced with holla day. And then is there another? And then I
special
was like,
special holiday
hey.
Day?
Right? And I was like, Jessica, these are really fascinating questions you're asking yourself. You should maybe go get some fresh air. Put the blankets down.
These are the tunnels.
Stop watching Aquaman.
That we're going down now.
This is all we have. So, but yes, welcome. Da, 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 da.
Chad, put welcome. In some holiday jingle music.
Yeah. Ooh, let's break for holiday music. Hold on. Welcome to Special Holiday, the Special Lady Day episode that totally was recorded during holiday season and might be coming out in January, probably.
We promise. We were, before this episode, we were talking about, like, the kind of holiday episode this is, and we landed on that, like, it's the lights that you are too lazy to take down for a couple weeks. That's like the energy of this episode.
That's exactly
this is
right.
This is the holiday we're celebrating.
Right.
Is your Christmas tree still up but kind of dead? Here we are.
Welcome to the episode.
Yeah.
Have you maybe broken down the boxes, the Amazon boxes from Christmas, but you're still just sort of staring at a lot of wrapping paper, wondering if you can safely burn it or if it'll be toxic for the environment? Welcome to the episode. That's where we're doing.
That's a la holiday.
That's a la holiday, people. Oh, my God. Yes, the weird, weird in-between of holidays. I saw, oh, my God. I went to the grocery store the other day. Sorry, just really quickly. And they had Valentine's Day stuff out.
Stop it.
And
it's inevitable, but stop it.
More angry. Exactly. I was like, I'm more angry than literally any other year that this has happened. And I think it's because
we're still in 2020.
Time is, that's right. We're in 2020. And I was like, time is moving simultaneously far too slow and also too fast. And I just don't, like, we're starting to hit, not to be depressing, but we're starting to hit, like, I realized the other day, I haven't been home to see my family in a year now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't even want to think about the last time you and I were together, Caitlin, because this is Special La Holiday, and there's only minimal crying in the La Holiday.
You can
I was going to say there's no
we'll
crying.
Time
we'll time it. I was going to say there's no crying in La Holiday, and then I was like, that's a lie. There's a lot of crying. Okay, no. Well, let's get into it.
Okay, so.
Let's transition.
In terms of.
Welcome to it.
Ancient traditions of Special Holiday that have been going on for hundreds of years. We thought we would shake things up a little bit and do Special Ladies of the Special Holiday. We're taking this model from a beloved holiday story, and we're doing Special Ladies of the past, Special Ladies of the present, and Special Ladies of the future. So you get not one, not two, but a handful of Special Ladies to usher you in to the new year.
That's
right. How does that sound?
Usher you. I think it sounds amazing. I think you nailed it.
Thanks.
I think you're lifting our spirits, holiday spirits.
Okay, and our act one for this episode, which is usually where we talk about ways to, before we get to talking about the past, We talk about ways to make the present brighter and better. We thought we'd do a real simple special holiday act, which is do something nice for yourself and check in with a friend, because the holidays are full of weird feelings, as we've been displaying and demonstrating. It can be dark. It can be really hard. There are a lot of feelings. Yep. So tend to yourself and then tend to just one person you care about. And that's going to do a lot of good.
It's going to do a lot of good. Yeah. Okay. Whatever you can do to take care of yourself. And yeah, call a friend. Check a friend. Mm-hmm. Text a friend. I want to jump into Special Ladies of the Past. I'm excited to share this with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to learn about it.
Yeah, so let's go on a journey. Thank you for that Act 1, Caitlin. Thank you for making sure we check in on ourselves and a friend. This is very important. Okay, so Special Ladies of the Past. Today, we are going to explore an article from Smithsonian Magazine called In World War II America, Female Santas Take the Reins. It is by Greg Daugherty.
Such a good title.
An incredible title. And I want to do a little scaffolding before we get started. So when I found this article and just like lightly skimmed it, here's what I imagined I was going to walk into. Mm-hmm. Rhetorically, I was like, this is going to be this heartfelt story, you know, similar to like Rosie the Riveter phenomenon in World War II. Like, these women are stepping up and becoming jolly old Saint Nick. And I bet everybody loved it. What a wonderful way for the country to come together. I don't know why I thought any of that. Because while some of that is true, it turns out, and Caitlin, I hope you're sitting down. We should know better. And here's the shock. A lot of men did not love that this was happening.
Shocker of the year.
Can you believe? But let's jump in. Let's learn about these female Santas and the reins of which they took. So, before World War II, we're going back. Mrs. Claus was a character people were a little familiar with.
Okay.
As far as I could tell from what I read, she shows up as a character as far back as 1906. 1906, a store called Filene's in Boston hired a Mrs. Claus to help their male Santa entertain young visitors. So she's been kicking around. She's not a brand new idea. Mm-hmm. It wasn't maybe something everyone had heard about, but Mrs. Claus was not unknown.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to be laughing at several points in this because I need to just tell you right up front that the direct quotes I have from men speaking out against Mrs. Claus are so dramatic. I'm not sure what they thought was going to happen, but they're very concerned. So let's go back to a little quote from the newspaper, the St. Louis Star-Times.
And this is just about Mrs. Claus in the department store?
Female Santa Clauses in general.
Okay.
It'll become more clear.
Okay.
So before the war begins, the St. Louis Star-Times, it appears that they kind of had a feeling that the female Santa phenomenon was just on the horizon.
It's really what they should be concerned about, of all the things they are to be concerned about terrified. During that time period.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the war on Christmas. So here's a quote from that article. They said, "It is customary in wartime for women to take over numerous fields of employment conventionally reserved for men." And while they conceded that First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, quote, might be right that a woman's place is in the office, factory, courtroom, marketplace, corner filling station, and other locations too numerous to mention, it's very clear that the St. Louis Star-Times was completely against the idea of female Santas. Now, how against it were they? Well, here's a quote, Caitlin.
Okay.
Let me use my most up-in-arms male editorialist voice.
Okay.
"There's one male domain, however, that should be defended at all costs. A woman Santa Claus?" Heaven forbid! That would be stretching the credulity of guileless little children too far.
Oh my god.
Ugh. So I would just like to take a moment to pause, yeah, because this is early in the article, and when I read this quote, I screamed a little bit by myself in my office, which is, as I said, not that unusual. And then I went downstairs to Eric, and I was like, okay, babe, they were furiously concerned about a, quote, woman Santa Claus. And I just, like, want to go on the record. And spoiler alert, okay, actually, real spoiler alert. If you have young children around, this is the time to cover their ears if they are Santa Claus believers.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
So just really quick, Santa Claus, super real, and everything is wonderful and fine. Okay, they're out of the room. So Santa Claus isn't real, and they're worried about a woman being Santa Claus?
Being a fake
like,
thing.
They're like, like, I was like, he's not even real, guys. Like, why are you like, this fantasy character? If we introduce a different fantasy character, my God, the children. Okay, so they're furious about it. But guess what?
What?
They were going to have to just deal with it because mm-hmm. the first female Santa, we believe, appeared in November of 1942 mm-hmm. in a Chicago department store.
Okay.
So shout out to Chicago. This was occurring about less than a year after U.S. had declared war on Japan. So we're starting to see the first female Santa Claus. And of course, as was mentioned earlier, the cause of this terrifying phenomenon was, oh God, clutch your pearls, everyone, find them and clutch them. The reason that this was happening is because so many men were gone at war. So women stepped up and they're taking on jobs that they didn't normally fulfill, mm-hmm. including being Santa Claus at a department store.
Just too far. So, it's too far, Jessica.
It's creating machinery for the war, that's fine. Pretending to be a fanciful lady that lives in the North Pole and can read everybody's minds, let's just not be ridiculous. But this is a quote from the Smithsonian article with a caption. So there's a caption of a photo of this Chicago Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Okay. And here's the whole quote. The manpower shortage has even hit old Saint Nick. This lady Santa Claus has turned up, dressed like Mr. Claus except for the whiskers, at a Chicago department store, and youngsters seem just as happy telling her which gifts they are hoping for. Yeah,
shocker.
Of course, okay? So we're gonna keep going. The next month, December of 1942, we've got another sighting, but this time it's in New Jersey. Okay. Can you believe? So, a quote reporting on this at the time said, from the Brooklyn Eagle said, unable to find a man suitable for the job. An F.W. Woolworth store in Union, New Jersey has also hired a female Santa. She was identified as Mrs. Anna Michelson, and she would, quote, wear a skirt instead of trousers, but all the other habiliments will be the same as those of the traditional Kris Kringle. And in her case, that also included a white wig and a beard. I know. Let's just slow down. Yeah. And then, quote, which the mother of eight obligingly showed off for a news photographer.
Okay. I kind of love this.
I do, too.
I mean, just women going around in beards, pissing people
into
off.
Into it. Also, everyone can have a beard. Knock yourselves out. Jeez, Louisiana. So, they are the reactions to female Santa, as I've already said, they're all over the board. But in my words, unsurprisingly, sexism abounds. Okay, so here's one quote from a Washington Post December 1942 article. They said, rather than disappoint the youngsters altogether, it seems better to have a feminine Santa than no Santa at all. Yeah, no
kidding.
Right? They're like, it's almost as if they buy it. Okay. So the Wichita Daily Times. Or literally don't care. Because, yeah, also, like, they're asking for presents. I think that they're, like, pretty open. Okay. Now, the Wichita Daily Times, in a November 1942 editorial titled, Invading Another Male Bastion. There's a lot of language about invasion.
I know, which is like
invasion.
Of all the things getting, again, invaded at that time, like, right. We really need to work on, like, the scale with which we use that verb.
Let's bring it down a few notches, everyone. Okay, so they start looking into the pros and cons, and they said, quote, "It may jar the sensibilities of the youngsters to hear a soprano voice, instead of a basso profundo one, sounding forth from behind the whiskers. But probably today's children will make whatever concessions are necessary on that account. They have been wise enough heretofore to pretend not to know that the department store Santa is a fraud. To accept a lady Santa will impose no intolerable strain upon their pretended innocence." Okay. So they're like, it's probably fine. And now we come to Henry McLemore, who I am going to refer you as, quote, this fucking guy. Okay. And here's his quote, all right? Here's what happened to poor old Henry when he stumbled upon a woman Santa, okay? He, quote, experienced the shock of my life, quote, "If there is such a thing as a minor horror, then a minor horror of this war is female Santa Clauses. Christine Kringle? Sarah St. Nicholas? Susie Santa Claus? Holy smoke!" Oh, he's not even done. Oh, but no. Would you like to throw anything out there before?
I feel like this is a sign that his life has been extremely comfortable.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because of the wonderful privileges that being a white dude has given him. Uh-huh. And if this is the thing he's going to freak out about.
Oh, Henry.
Then literally. Henry's life is fine.
Yeah, Henry, you were doing great.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this wasn't enough for him, though. Okay. He wasn't done talking about it. So he continued to lament, quote, "She didn't walk like Santa Claus walks." Okay, I'm sorry. I need... What? You know what? I'm going to take this over again, and I'm going to do this in the voice that I actually think Henry had. Okay?
Okay.
Which is please. Slightly more snivelly. Okay. "She didn't walk like Santa Claus walks. He lumbered and flat-footed around, the result of years of carrying that massive pack on his back. This female Santa Claus minced around on size 3 shoes, and worst of all, she giggled. The real Santa Claus never giggled."
Wow.
He's never giggled in his life, and that's something you have to know about him, Santa Claus. Not one time. Like, who is this severe Santa Claus that Henry knows? Like,
I know.
He sounds terrifying. He's flat-footed. He's lumbering around. He's unhappy.
Sounds like he needs a good chiropractor.
Probably, right? So, anyway, all this to say, some people were really upset, Henry included. but I love this quote, though, from the Smithsonian article.
Okay, yeah.
Where it said, A report in the Geneva Daily Times in upstate New York speculated on whether female Santas would take Manhattan next. What are they taking? Like, where are they coming from?
Yeah.
And it said, right? Okay, and so it said, quote, "News that Chicago had a Mrs. Santa reached New York Saturday. Notice of such a break with tradition was not received lightly. The Santa at Stern Brothers, a New York City department store, said he would like to meet a woman Santa and give her his picture. But he thought a Mrs. Santa could not stand the strain a real Santa has to undergo."
I really want to just see a guy angrily give a woman his picture.
It's all I've ever wanted. You look at this photo of me as Santa Claus. Which, like, dude, again, you're not Santa Claus. Like, you're not even... Because He's not real. Okay? So just get it together. But guess what? There was nothing they could do, Caitlin. Because come December of 1943, the female Santas had taken Manhattan, so to speak.
The language they're using is like it's a Godzilla movie.
I know. When will the female Santas take Manhattan?
Yeah. That's like language straight out of like any alien invasion movie.
I know. They've Where are they Manhattan. Coming from?
They're going to DC next.
Don't you tell me that they've made it to Brooklyn, because I swear to God if they've gotten to my favorite cafe. Okay, but so December 1943, New York gets its first female Santa, an actress named Daisy Belmore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Daisy. What's up? You're great. She worked at Saks Fifth Avenue, and she actually was a British actress. Okay? She had past roles in All Quiet on the Western Front in the 1930s, as well as in 1931's Dracula. So She sounds great. Probably doing a great job playing a character. Because, again, Santa Claus in the department stores is a character. Bet she didn't need any picture shoved in her face.
Mm-mm. I bet she could take the strain.
She handled the strain. She was different than the earlier iterations of female Santa Clauses because she was, and I love this, an entity all to herself. She was, quote, equipped with her own throne and gift-giving abilities.
So now we're talking. Maybe she did it better?
It's almost as if she did it better, Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if. Now, I don't want to alarm you, okay?
I'm already pretty alarmed by this whole story.
It's a shock, but by December of 1944... female Santas were out in full force. Quote, the Volunteers of America, a charity whose Santa-suited bell ringers raised funds on city street corners, fielded 7 female Santas in New York alone. So they're everywhere. They're just really everywhere. I can't stop using the, like dreadful news voice now.
I just
want to narrate this whole thing with like shock and awe, but this is actually just a real part of the story. One of the volunteers was a woman named Mrs. Phoebe Seabrook, a 62-year-old grandmother. And quote, though she wore a flowing white beard, she noted that her voice and shoe size were often a giveaway, even to the youngest children. They were figuring it out, okay? In that case, she would explain that she was actually Santa Claus's wife, which may or may not have done anything to lessen their confusion. Okay, now this is my favorite thing I read. This next line is the best thing in this article. When challenged by kids who said they didn't think Santa even had a wife, she was known to reply, "Well, he's got one now."
Good old Phoebe. And that's the thing, because guess what, Jessica? This is make-believe. And we can
Caitlin.
We can change the story anytime. Next year, does he include like a tiny velociraptor along with his reindeer? Absolutely possible, because it's make-believe.
It's make-believe. that pretty much brings us to the end. But by Christmas of 1945... World War II was over, and while some women remained in the industries that they had previously been working in due to the lack of men available for those positions, it seems that the female Santa more or less came to an end. Now, Caitlin, I'm not saying I'm like all about Christmas or that we're all about Christmas, because this is special La Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for any holiday. But I would like to just put out an idea for Christmas 2021 to our listeners. We form a troop, nay, a motley crew of female Santas, and we descend upon
the city. We invade.
We gotta invade. Listen, we gotta take, I don't know, Seattle. What cities haven't been taken yet? Vancouver? Nashville?
I feel like the West Coast was missing. So we can just take the whole thing.
Yeah. Female Santas take LA. Maybe we're also writing a movie here. Let's not limit ourselves.
I know.
But all of this is to say they did their part.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be remembered through history. And as a final note, the actress, Ms. Daisy Belmore, did go mm-hmm. on to continue to perform on Broadway.
Love
after
it.
Her stint as a female Santa. The strain didn't yeah. get to her. She was able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I'm never surprised, but it is still very funny to me. So,
oh, my God. That's such a good story.
Special Santa ladies of the past.
I love it.
Ooh, what's that? Do you hear that sound, Caitlin? It's another ghost. Oh, it's from the present. Oh, so much fog. Who is it? What is it? It's a special lady.
Of the present.
The present.
Okay, let me tell you about this special lady. I feel like we need, like, Charles Dickens-y, like, music. Chad, figure that out.
Chad, Charles Dickens music. Let's yeah. go.
Okay. And I wish I'd, like, read a little bit of Christmas Carol before this, because, like, I bet there were, like, some clever ways we can incorporate a scene from it into this, or any kind of framing, but I did not do that.
That's fine.
Anyways, we wanted to focus our special lady of the present lens on Representative Deborah Holland, the woman recently nominated by President-elect Biden to be the Secretary of the Department of the Interior. So I heard a lot about this, and I selfishly, with this segment, I was like, ooh, I want to learn more about her. So let's do her.
Yeah.
Or let's cover her. So my first question was, what is the Department of the Interior?
Sure.
That's where I started. So I'm going to go with their website, and then I'm going to offer an alternative reading of it. But I want to give a big shout out. I'm going to cite a couple of articles, but there is one by the Washington Post that I used heavily, and it has three authors, so I just want to shout them out first. It's Juliet Eli Perrin, or Ellie Perrin, Dino Grandoni, and Brady Dennis. And so it seems like a lot of their, it was like a group effort. So anyways, I will let you know when I'm referencing them, but I just wanted to put that out there right away. So what is the U.S. Department of Interior? I had to look it up, so I went to their website. And they have, what do we do? Or what are we? I was like, thank you.
Perfect.
So I'm going to quote them. The U.S. Department of the Interior uses sound science to manage and sustain America's lands, water, wildlife, and energy resources, honors our nation's responsibilities to tribal nations, and advocates for America's island communities. And that all sounds hunky-dory, nice. Right? You're like, sure. Oh, wow, sound science? Honoring responsibilities to tribal nations and island
sounds
communities.
Sounds very good.
Uh-huh. So kind of like your disappointment with the Santa story, where you're like, oh, that sounds really hunky-dory. Nothing could be wrong. And then you're like, oh, wait, we're in the U.S. and everything mm-hmm. is always wrong most of the mm-hmm. time. The Washington Post and a lot of other sources that I read offer kind of a different telling of what the Department of the Interior has been known for. So this is a direct quote from the Post article. The legacy of the Interior is blemished by instances of federal officials removing Native Americans from their ancestral lands, including from Yellowstone, the first and perhaps most iconic national park. So it also has to deal with like a lot of like oil and gas and things like that and our natural resources. So it is a, let's say, a controversy-laden department. That has often had tension and conflict with Native Americans and tribes in terms of land and taking care of the land. So the nomination of Holland is even more significant. She tweeted after the nomination, "A voice like mine has never been a cabinet secretary." Oh, and so that makes her, sorry, I didn't even mention this. This makes her the first Native American to be on a presidential cabinet, which is pretty exciting. So after the nomination, she tweeted, "A voice like mine has never been a cabinet secretary or at the head of the Department of Interior. I'll be a force for all of us, our planet, and for our protected land. And so to give a little bit more context about her role and kind of how significant it is, this is a quote from the Post article. She will oversee a department that manages roughly one-fifth of the land in the U.S. Whoa! And wow. While she hails from a top oil and gas state, Holland has pledged to transform the department from a champion of fossil fuel development into a promoter of renewable energy and policies to mitigate climate change. Wow. So she has the potential to do a lot of really good work in terms of, you know, kind of reconciling the shady past of that department. And I mean, I know that's a lot of articles were like, there's a lot of pressure on her, which was something to learn too. Like, this is so exciting. And but she has the potential and the opportunity to make a lot of really positive changes in terms of the department and its legacy. So I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about who she is. And I got all this information from her congressional website. So this is kind of from her office. She's a 35th generation New Mexican who is an enrolled member of the Pueblo of Laguna. And she also has Jemez Pueblo heritage. And she just has some really interesting insights in terms of being like a representative of the people and kind of her own life experience. Her parents were both veterans, and so she moved around a lot. I read somewhere that she went to like 13 schools.
Oh my gosh.
Because of the military life. As she became an adult, she was a single mom. At times, she was on food stamps, you know, even experiencing intermittent homelessness. And she was able to put herself through the University of Mexico and the UNM Law School, but, you know, kind of like experiences student loans. And they even said, like, in her bio, Anna's paying off her daughter's student loans still.
Wow. So, I'm glad that they talked about that.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. I just like that they're saying that. That's
important. She is paying these off as... so it's just kind of helpful to know that someone representing us is also experiencing those things that, you know, maybe people of privilege don't have to think about or maybe haven't experienced in their own lived life. Other fun things, there's like a huge list of accomplishments. And so I just wanted to pick out some of the ones that I found kind of most representative. She ran her own small business, producing and canning salsa. And later became the first chairwoman elected to the Laguna Department Corporation Board of Directors. So she has this, like, business experience as well, which is pretty cool. And, you know, during her time there, she advocated for environmentally friendly business practices. She did a lot of voter outreach, looking at, like, who is not covered by the Electoral College during the Obama administration. And she also supported the protesters at Standing Rock and, like, brought them all New Mexican food, like all the labor unions and things, which sounds really cool. And also during her lifetime, she was the first Native American women to serve in Congress. So we talk a lot about firsts, and so this is kind of a big first that's going on right now.
Yeah.
About the significance of her nomination, and this is pretty much directly quoted from the Washington Post article, here is a man kind of just talking about the significance of it. They say, Chase Iron Eyes, a Native American activist and attorney with the Lakota People's Law Project, said that while Indigenous peoples have several champions in Congress, he is elated that the department will be run by a tribal member. It could not have been in our forefathers' dreams to have an actual Indian be appointed at the cabinet level in the agency that is meant to oversee their absorption. So, yeah, this is pretty significant. And I keep thinking about, like, just kind of close off this segment. There's, like, a great quote. And, you know, I hope it's attributed to her because I know that so many famous quotes don't actually come from the people we say they do. So, big grain of salt. But I've heard that, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when she was asked by some reporter, like, you know, when will you see, like, gender equality on the Supreme Court? You know, like, is it when half of the Supreme Court members are women? And she was like, no, it's going to be when all of the Supreme Court members are women. Because, like, for so long, it's been all. And I started thinking about that in terms of, like, federal government representation and, like, the Native American community that has been just so brutalized and terrorized by the U.S. government and federal government. And I'm like, we, like, this is great, but let's talk about a future where everyone is a Native American. I know that that's, like, far off, but, like, this is exciting and this is a first step, but, like, the fight for equality and representation is not over, yeah. You know?
That's right.
So, yeah. So, like, let's wow. try to do some things to get to that day where it's not just one, but it's all. So that's like that. The special lady of the present.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to her, to Congresswoman Deb Haaland. That is yeah. incredible.
Also,
and I'm really excited. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no. Keep going. Yeah, I have something goofy to say.
I was just going to say, I'm really excited to see everything that she does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting. Like, this is a start. You know, it's the present.
Yeah.
We're going to do the future as well, but I'm like, okay, she's also kind of the future. But
yes.
I wanted to make sure I knew how to pronounce her name and also the name of the next person I'm going to do. And I found the most adorable, like, French man who has this pronunciation YouTube account. Yes. And it's mostly how to pronounce politicians' names.
Oh, incredible.
And I need to find his – I'll find his name and, like, put a link in our show notes. But he has the most calming voice, and he's like, here's how you pronounce the, like, French director of communications for the government's name. And he says the name, and he says it over and over again in a soft voice. Oh. And he had one for Deb Haaland. He was like – she, you know, accomplished this and this, and this is her title. And let's say her name over and over again. Haaland. Haaland. Oh. And I was like, new favorite YouTube set, like channel. It's the best thing ever. And anyways, it was a delight.
Oh my God, that is amazing. And I love that that exists.
Yeah.
And so useful. Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out to that YouTube channel.
Just the softest voice, man. Okay, but this is a La Holiday, so
it is.
We have some special ladies. Woo, 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 woo. We're going to not ghosts, but real people of the future.
Future. Yes, and I'm going to kick this one off. We both have a couple, or we both have a person we're going to cover here. But I am going to start by talking about a young activist named Shanna Grant. And I learned about her through a Washington Post article called 12 Kids Who Are Changing Their Communities and Our World. Her part of the article was written by Mary Lou Toussignant.
Toussaint? Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Mary Lou.
Too. We both don't know. We need that man.
We need that man. And there was another article published on Population Education called Civics in Action, These Five Youth Activists Will Leave You Inspired by Raphael Woldeeb. And let's learn about her. Because when I was thinking about special ladies of the future, I felt, and I think you did too, we were both drawn to, like, who are the young people that are really making things happen right now? Mm-hmm. And there are so many. There are so many. And I'm just really proud of them. I mean, I don't know that they are ever going to hear that, but I'm just really, really proud of them. And I think what they're doing is amazing. And Shanna Grant is one of them. So let's learn about this special lady of the present and the future. At the time of the article, which was published in April, she was 17 years old and living in Washington, D.C. And this is a quote from her. She said, "I had always been interested in social justice and how I could improve my community, but I wasn't sure how to go about it." Tragedy struck in her life in 2017, on September 20th, 2017. Very, very sadly, Shauna's friend, 16-year-old friend Zaire Kelly, was shot and killed outside of his home by a teenager that was trying to rob him. Mm-hmm. And this was, according to the article, the first personal experience with gun violence that Shanna had, and it really activated her. She said, quote, "It was time for it to be enough." So she started participating in anti-violence activism, and that included being a part of the student-led March for Our Lives demonstration that occurred, supporting gun control measures. And then last year, she was elected. I'd never heard of this before. I think this is really interesting. In Washington, D.C., they have a city-run program that develops future leaders. And mm-hmm. she was elected as a youth mayor.
Oh, that's
in this
so cool.
program. I know.
I didn't know that
I love
was
it.
A thing.
Yeah. So I just think that that's really neat. And we'll link to that organization in the notes so you can learn more about them. But she said, quote, "I have a unique perspective as an African-American girl living in Ward 8 and seeing how gun violence and poverty affect families in my community." So, and she's absolutely right. She's bringing so much to the table. She's currently working on a proposal to help, quote, prevent the school-to-prison pipeline.
Wow.
And this proposal includes her urging for, quote, nonviolent solutions to problems. And it's something that she calls practicing peace. And so she is urging for these solutions at youth government meetings, town hall gatherings. But here is a direct quote on what she is referring to when she says practicing peace. These are some mm-hmm. suggestions that she has mm-hmm. for young people that are feeling angry or stressed. She says, quote, "Breathe deeply. Write down your feelings. Talk to someone. Try to see the other person's point of view and look for activities that you enjoy, such as listening to music."
I love that.
I love that very... I'm struck by that mm-hmm. because it is so clear and so tangible, and it's like her voice is this clear-sounding bell, is mm-hmm. how I'm imagining her in these town halls. She's coming in with this incredible proposal and this beautiful idea of this practicing peace, and here's something very... I always get a lot personally when I'm learning about something or learning how to do something. It always helps me just so much to have very practical steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing something like that, I was like, oh, that's amazing. That's yeah. amazing. She's amazing. She was expected to graduate in May from Basis DC Charter School. I don't know if that happened since it's past May now. I'm assuming it did. I couldn't find that confirmed anywhere. And she has... had plans to attend Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia this fall, and she's planning to become a doctor, but she is not planning on giving up her activism. And she says, quote, "Things need to be changed. I want to be part of that change."
Ugh.
So,
ooh.
so much gratitude for mm-hmm. Shanna Grant. What an incredible individual doing such amazing work. Rising from a terrible tragedy and bringing so much knowledge, so much expertise, so much focus specifically to this fight against gun violence. I mm-hmm. feel so much gratitude for her, and I'm really excited to follow her and mm-hmm. see what she does. I'm going to do a little more searching to see if she has any initiatives or anything online that we can yeah. point people to. I mm-hmm. didn't find anything yet. But I'm going to keep looking because I have to imagine it's out there.
We can put like a definitely... little Google alert on her name to like
yes, see. Exactly. And we'll see. yeah. Keep an eye on what she's doing because she's going to do big things. She's already doing big things. But that is a special lady of the, I guess technically, like you said, present. She's doing this now, but also a special lady of the future. I just think we can really expect such incredible things from her. She's already shown us so much. So keep an eye out. And thank you. I just want to say thank you to her. Like, thank you for doing the work that you're doing. If you ever hear this, which you
she's
probably
too cool.
won't, but she's got to be way cooler than us. But I'm just filled with so much gratitude at the work that you're doing. So thank you, Shanna Grant. So that is my special lady of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you have another special lady of the future that you want to turn us to. So yes. Tell me about her, Caitlin.
Yeah. And so I also got her from that same Washington Post article, and her section was covered by the author Danielle Paquette. And I Ooh. Also got a little bit of info from Robotics Molly. So my special lady of the future is Maymuna Ndiaye, and she is the youngest person on Molly's national robotics team, or as of like May when the article came out. and so she's from Bamako, which is like kind of an urban center in Mali. And this year she's 14, and she is one of two girls on her high school's elite programming squad. And she's been nominated several times for captain, including for the Robotex International competition in Estonia and then the Pan-African Robotics competition in Ghana. And amazing. So, yeah, so super cool. She's already a leader, even at 14. And she became interested in programming at a very early age. A group of engineers visited her school when she was 9 years old. And she was inspired by them. And so she applied to computer camp.
Yeah!
Which I love. Awesome. And so this is kind of unusual and exciting because the area she lives in, you know, kind of... us in many ways is still conservative, and women who quote like choose to work, which is laden with a lot anyways, are frowned upon. And so she really is fighting back against that, and she envisions this new future where like she's looking for ways to like contribute to Mali and her home country through technology, but also kind of envisioning it with like women at the helm. And so she's become kind of this motivational figure for other girls that she encounters to help get them into robotics. So this is a quote from the Post article. She, quote, nudges other girls in town to pursue their machine dreams. The first step, she tells them, is shushing the internal voice that says, you can't do it. You are capable, she gushes in these pep talks. We need everyone to get involved to build a better world. Which I love, right?
My God. Yeah.
So, yeah. So she is, like, not only doing all these robotics, but she's, like, trying to really encourage the girls around her, which is so cool and such a sign of a leader. And this is the last thing I'll just say, which I love, is that her goal, because she's building all these different kinds of robots, but she has these kind of like visions of like the kinds of robots she wants to build. Mm-hmm. And her goal is to build an android that handles everyone's chores, which.
Okay, now I'm sold.
Right? Which I have to say, though, like in terms of, you know, like something that's been really big that you and I have been talking about is how like being in COVID, there's a lot of realization that in households, like division of labor, like, is not as, quote, equal as we think it is, kind of overall. And so, like, of course, wouldn't it be great if that could be handled without technology? But also, if there's a way to, like, lift those burdens off of women.
Right. Yes.
Then that sounds awesome.
Amazing.
So, yeah, an android that handles everyone's chores. So, yeah, that is Maymuna and Dai, and we'll keep an eye out for her, too, and all the cool things that she does.
Oh, amazing. I like that. I like that so much. I love hearing about her. I love all these special ladies. I do. I just love them. I always do. But I don't know. It gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah.
A lot of hope.
Yeah. We need to focus on that because, you know, as we can always turn to all the things that are horrible that are going on. But there are some really cool people out there doing really amazing things or who did do really amazing things. I'm thinking about... that volunteer Santa who was helping people use their imaginations to extend the Santa universe.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. How dare she? No, that is amazing. That's amazing. Oh, talk about holiday cheer. I love it. Well, I'll say, Caitlin, it wouldn't be a special La Holiday episode without some special... La Holiday shout outs. How's that for a transition? You like that?
I love it.
Yeah. I'm a writer, so I do that. That's just a skill I have. Wow. Is those subtle transitions. Who do you have this week? What you bring in
for the special holiday
here?
Have mentioned her before, and this is not groundbreaking. Someone who has been getting me through all of COVID times has been the wonderful, prolific, unmatched Agatha Christie.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I have just been turning... I knew I was a cozy mystery fan, and now I'm like, oh, I'm a cozy mystery fan in this way that, like, I don't know what it says about me, but I love them. And sometime at a later date, we'll talk about my favorite mystery series called Her Royal Spyness. That's a whole other thing. but
very excited.
But yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Agatha Christie books on audiobook because they just really comfort me. It's like being wrapped in a blanket with the hood on when sometimes you don't have one. and I found if you want a good recommendation for a book, I mean, there is Poirot's Christmas. And let's be honest, this is the most British thing ever. And I'm saving it to listen to it next year. But there is The Adventure of the Christmas Pudding, which is a real book.
Okay.
Let's just let that linger for a second while we
Can you just say that one more time?
The Adventure, please? Not the mystery, The Adventure of the Christmas Pudding.
Okay.
And I love it because I'm still so confused about the British definition of pudding. Even though I've like looked it up and watched so much British Bake Off, I still do not understand what like pudding is. This weird cloud that swirls around so many different types of foods. Don't understand it.
Right. I don't either.
Anyways, but there's a Christmas one. But I found because I was doing like for Halloween, I was like saving all of the Halloween mysteries, you know, to listen to them.
Yes.
And I did the same with the Christmas one. And I found this book that is an anthology of short stories by Agatha Christie that are all somehow winter themed. So there's like some holiday ones. There's like, of course, there's like a Poirot one, a Miss Marple one, but there's like a New Year's one and then just like wintry ones. And it's called Midwinter Murder. And it's just like a ton of really good Agatha Christie short stories. And I love them so much. And it got me through the holiday season.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. I love this.
So thank you, Agatha Christie. I love you so much.
Thank you, Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
The patron saint of coziness, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
We could make like a special 80-day coziness pack and it involves the blanket you can wear and then a lot of Agatha Christie.
I love it.
And then some chai.
We'll have some care packages.
Yeah.
We'll take our merch to the next level. That is non-existent. Yeah. So
right, I was gonna say it'll be a whole new level that's not even here. Thank you for all that recommendations though. You always remind me I need to get into A, audiobooks, and B, Agatha Christie.
I'll set you up with some good recommendations. It's, let's be honest, it's British in the early 20th century. So there's some things.
Oh yeah.
But overall it's good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're gonna find that. Yeah. Well, you're inspiring me. I have two literary special lady shout-outs today. I added one at the last minute.
Love it.
I'm going to start. I know. I'm getting wild on the special holiday
episode. I mean, it is a holiday, so you can be a bit indulgent.
I mean, and here's the thing. Who doesn't love a holiday? We're all loving a holiday like it's the holiday we always wanted.
Yeah.
That's right. So I want to give a special literary shout out. Mm-hmm. You're inspiring me, Caitlin, to a book that I got from my mom, actually, as a gift for Christmas. So thanks, Mom. It is called The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, and it is by Disha Filia. And I'd seen the cover. The cover, like, immediately was super iconic to me. And I was like, what's this now about the secret lives of church ladies? Says the pastor's kid recording a podcast right now. I was like, very interested, very interested. And one thing I've struggled with in quarantine is having enough focus to read, which is a really big problem and, like, disappointment for me because I'm a writer. You're a writer. We love reading, right? It's our lifeblood. And this book, it's amazing, just full stop. You can stop right there. It is incredible. Mm-hmm. It is a collection of short stories. It is so riveting. It is so entrancing. I cried at several points, but not in the way that I cry at Christmas commercials, like really cried. It is so moving. I just felt completely swept up in it. And something that was extra special about it for me is that I read it all in one sitting.
Whoa, that's rare.
And it's rare. And also when I just like have it, it was like, this is maybe a weird metaphor, but like when you've like been really, really ill and nothing sounds good to eat. And then you eat your first meal and it's the most delicious thing. This was the most delicious book to like reintroduce myself to reading with. I was like, oh, how is it done? Like I just flew through it. So we're going to definitely link to it. It's incredible. So short stories, fiction, a wonderful read, incredible characters. You have to check it out. Check it out, check it out, check it out. Get it, buy it. It also was no big deal, but, you know, a finalist for the National Book Award. So that's fine. You know, that's no big deal. So yes, Disha Filia, The Secret Lives of Church Ladies. Go buy this book from your local bookseller and support her because her work is phenomenal. And then my final shout out is to a poem, because would it be special a holiday without me wanting to talk about a poem? No. Mm-mm. That's part of the tradition that I just invented with you.
Because you can.
Today.
Invent
things. That's right.
When it's just
sure can.
A tradition.
Just a tradition. Let's expand our minds, female Santas. So, the poem. I want that soundbite just to play. Let's expand our mind, female Santas. So this poet is someone I've loved for a while now. Her name is Shira Ehrlichman. I got turned on to her by a collection of poetry that she wrote called Odes to Lithium. And this is a new poem. It was published in The Nation, and it is called Somewhere Real. And I would read the whole darn thing to you right now, but I don't know if I can do that legally. And also, I would like to not cry more on the podcast. This poem gutted me in the best way. This poem is a literal and metaphorical road trip with every part of ourselves that makes us who we are.
Ooh.
Is the only way I can describe it. It's so, so shockingly beautiful. It's the kind of poem where I read it 3 times in a row.
Wow.
The first time I read it, I just kept rereading it. And then earlier today, I read it out loud to myself and started weeping. Like, it's just so beautiful. And I just want to give you this, like, these two little lines, because the whole poem goes back and forth with this phrase, get in, like, get in the car. I'm driving. Get in, right? She's telling all of these parts of herself, get in the car, get in the car. And these are the lines that I thought I wanted to end my shout out on from Ms. Ehrlichman. She says, I know you're exhausted. Get in. I'm driving you home. Roll down your window. The forecast is alive.
Ooh.
And it healed a part of me that I didn't even know needed to be healed. So we're all going to just read all of these things.
Yeah.
We're going to read the poem and the books, and we're going to have our cozy time. But to me, there was no better image or sentiment to end this year on other than full exhaustion.
Yeah.
But get in the car. I'm going to drive you home. We can do this together. So that is, I guess, one of my final thoughts on 2020, Ms. Caitlin Morris. I'm exhausted, but get in my car.
Ooh. I love it. This is our last, well, we are a last and a first, yeah, because this is the last time we're recording in 2020. But for you all, this is the first time you're hearing us in the new year. So, congratulations. You did it. The date has changed.
You did it. Yep.
Take it how you will. Don't put any pressure on yourself to make any big life changes.
Mm-mm.
Just lay down more.
Yeah. Lay down. Wear a blanket. If you can, read some poems that make yourself feel alive. You don't need to go on a diet. You don't need to do a big reset. If you need a podcast host permission slip to just continue to be yourself in 2021, I'm signing it. I'm handing it off right now, and it's very official. Caitlin has also signed it. And,
I've stamped it, actually.
Wow. I was going to say, I think that your dog Coco is a notary, and I'm pretty sure Coco just notarized it.
He did.
With his tiny paw.
He's taking a nap right now, so to make it even more special, he notarized it in his dreams.
Oh my god. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then Sophie Sophie sealed it.
What'd Sophie do?
Oh, with her official seal.
Sure. Yeah. I have to.
It's just a scream in wax.
Yeah. That sounds about right for Sophie. Yeah. But yeah. We've got this very important delivered permission slip listeners that says your podcast moms want you to just really love yourself and lay down more in 2021. Yeah. Why not? Let's rest. You know? And let's have so many dance parties when we're vaccinated. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even listened to any of the new Cardi B singles in a, like, dancey setting yet. Okay?
That's so true.
I'm dying inside. I'm dying. I'm going to descend upon you with so much force.
I'm excited.
As soon as this thing is over. Oh, ugh. You're going to want to get rid of me.
Hanging out.
But.
What a new concept.
What a new concept. Thank you for sticking with us through 2020, listeners. We really love you.
We do.
Deeply.
Mm-hmm. Really, I guess deeply. That's it.
I guess that's it. Oh, my God. I forgot something. I'm sorry. Do we have another second?
I think we
just
do.
Just really quickly?
I think. Oh, okay. I looked at my watch that is not on my wrist, and I think we have some time.
Okay. I'm just going to pull this up in our shared Google Doc. Yes. What is it?
As you pull that up, I always forget to tell people to follow us on social media. I've been making some really fun quizzes lately on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can sign up for our newsletter and maybe I'll send you one next year. And woo! If you like us, then
yes.
Like on Apple Podcasts and a couple other places, rate us because that shows people that you love us. We're also, I noticed, we're on Audible and it shows that we're newly on Audible because nobody has given us a single star. So you can do that. But anyways, just like all the little ways that are for free that you can, you know, just like give us a nice rating. We would appreciate it.
It helps. It really helps. We would appreciate it so much. So much.
Oh, and I see something new has popped up in our little shared Google Doc.
Yeah, do you see? I'm pulling it up right now. Mm-hmm. Can you? Okay, great. It's showing up for you too? Okay, great. I can just bring it up then. All I was going to say is Caitlin C. Morris.
Yes, Jessica.
I don't want to like shock you right now. Okay. I know it's the end of a year. It's been a long year, but I need to tell you something startling.
Okay. I think I'm ready.
Here we go. I love you.
I love you too, Jessica.
Oh, yes. It's the best thing every time. Let's go. 2021. The love of a good woman. What do you need? Nothing else.
Happy special holiday.
Happy special holiday. Take care of yourselves. Stay home. Get vaccinated when you're offered. And we love you.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.